February 11, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 24. Oh, hell yes, let the bodies hit the floor indeed. Hey everybody, I'm the J-Strom. It's episode 24 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Hopefully you got the instructions to join our new feed if you wanted to subscribe to the show, but you can always find our show at nowhereinmulberry.com. Thanks for being here this week. We'll get to all of our favorite TV shows in a bit, but first, let me welcome the pop culture zealot, Steven. How you doing, Steven?
I'm doing great. How are you, Jason?
Now, Steven, you are not here in Mulberry. Can you tell everyone where you're at?
I'm in Vallejo, California, just outside of Vallejo.
Just outside of San Francisco?
Yes.
Hello, Frisco.
How is Frisco?
Temperature is very nice here. It's beautiful country out here.
Have you been to China Street yet? Chinatown yet?
I plan on going there and wishing everyone a beautiful, happy Chinese New Year and Year of the Dog.
Nice. Year of the Dog. Sounds nice. You know what else sounds nice is Vanessa. How you doing, Vanessa?
Yay! I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Great.
I just keep thinking, I don't know if you heard this, Steven. Jason did like a kind of a quick commercial to tell people we had changed over to a different provider.
Hey.
Have to play it. It's like 10 minutes long.
First of all, it's 3 minutes long, all right?
Oh, it seemed like it took forever. You've got to play that.
It was very important that our listeners get our new feed to know where to resubscribe.
The longer it got, the more I was laughing. I'm like, this is ever end?
Hey, everybody's a perfectionist. All right, everybody, you may be wondering where Mulberry Bill is this week. He's just bought a new home, and he's going to be busy with that for a while. Bill will be back as soon as he can. He's just busy with a lot of personal problems. No, not like that. I mean personal things he's doing, you know, like personal hygiene. No, not hygiene. Not hygiene. What's the word I'm thinking of, you guys?
Business.
Personal business. That's it.
A tad different.
Exactly, Steven. Once again, you have crystallized my thoughts perfectly. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Now, Steven, you're in Frisco. Vanessa's on China Street.
No, not anymore.
Vanessa's somewhere. Vanessa's in a hole somewhere.
Yes, it feels like.
Also, some new news, everybody. We have a chat room. It's a link right there on nowhereinmulberry.com in the right hand. Right hand side, that is. When do you guys think we should hop on for like one of those nice chat parties? Like Friday nights after Battlestar Galactica or something like that?
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, that sounds fine.
We'll think of something. We'll announce it too. But right now I'm going to say Friday nights, hop on the Mulberry chat, and possibly we'll be on there just yakking about stuff. So
at 10 o'clock Central Time.
Yeah, but
Central America.
We stay up late, just hop on there, you know. Guys, we got a voicemail from Mick McCard of the Captain Jolt podcast. Let's check it out.
Hey, Mulberry team. It's Mick from the Captain Jolt podcast series. Hey, I just wanted to say great work on your Double Deuce episode. But I did notice that I didn't hear any breathing by Steven, and I'm wondering if he joined the ranks of the undead. And another thing I was thinking about was, you know, you never hear about Mulberry Bill and Eugene being in the same place. I'm wondering if it's a Clark Kent Superman kind of thing.
Ah.
Just wondering.
I think
talk
Bill would
later.
Be highly offended by that.
Appreciate the zombie killing.
Yeah, I don't think Bill would like what you're alluding to there, sir. No, Bill and Eugene, I can tell you for certain, are not the same person.
That would be a scary
thought.
They
don't have the Clark Kent persona.
But that is a nice theory. It would be so cool if we started having Lost-type theories on our show. Like
nanobots.
I hear that they do the show from a hatch underground. Really? Yeah, just stuff like
that.
It's
not really in San Francisco and Alaska.
You know, is Foggy really on the other side of the island? Who is Foggy?
Go to my my blog. You can see that I actually have pictures of Alaska. And
yeah, that's right. Steven has finally posted pictures of his exploits across the nation, and they're very good pictures, by the way. New York, Alaska.
Froze over? Hell finally froze over?
Yes, it did. For a second there, I thought you were going to quit on us and not post any pictures.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
What?
That's right. I wish I knew how to quit
don't
you, but I can't.
Don't go dying on me.
Don't you go not posting pictures on me. Whatever that means. Hey, guys, let's get into some entertainment. What do you say?
Hello, Frisco.
All right, Foggy, we get it. He's in San Francisco, but he's not even in Frisco. He's in Vallejo.
I'll be in San Francisco tonight. I'm going in there for the Chinese New Year's parade.
Nice.
Hello, Frisco.
So, actually, that drop, it works. Now, guys, speaking of something that doesn't work, there's a new movie out called Date Movie with Allison Hannigan, Willow from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Have you guys seen commercials to this?
Oh, you know.
I don't think so.
It's like a spoof of date movies, like scary movies, a spoof of horror movies. Let's check out the trailer.
Dear Diary, I believe in true love.
Oh,
my
boy.
Knight in shining armor is out there somewhere, and I'm gonna find him.
From two of the six writers of Scary Movie comes
nice.
The question.
Who's thirsty?
Could it be two of the six
Grandula's
worst writers?
Grandula's just embarrassed because he lost his virginity to the housekeeper.
Oh, no.
What does it take to make the ultimate date movie?
Idiot. Hell no, I won't marry you. Gosh.
Yeah, there's nice Napoleon spoof
Gosh.
There.
Gosh.
Pretty bad.
A little hitch.
Your hitch?
Do I look like Will Smith to you?
Yo, fellas,
I love short people humor, don't you guys?
Oh, yeah.
I love the small people.
A meeting with the parents.
That's Jason's.
Taught him how to do that.
Nothing like a cat on the toilet humor either.
And a lot.
This thing's got it all.
I'm Jello. I'm here
I guess
to
that's
plan
making
dream.
Fun of the in-laws.
Yeah, the cat pooping
this
on the toilet.
Hey, is it too late to crash the wedding?
Sure,
romantic comedies finally get
your beautiful.
What's coming to them?
It's just a slumber party.
Date Movie.
Yeah! What? Okay! Get crunk!
Get crunk!
Awesome.
Your mom goes to college.
What was that, Foggy? Did you guys hear that last part?
Your mom goes to college.
Oh, it's Kip. Okay, thanks.
That is one thing that drives me nuts with movies, is when there's a popular movie, everybody does something to make fun of it. You know what I'm talking about? When, like, Blair Witch Project, everybody did a spoof of it.
Yeah, it's like, how many movies did you see them spoofing the bullet time in The Matrix,
yes.
where they would bend their back over and something would fly over them? It's like, yeah, that's funny. It's
the 100th time.
Steven, you're a pop culture zealot. Let me ask you this. Is it okay to jump on the bandwagon to those things?
It's never okay to jump on any bandwagon.
Good. That's the right answer. Exactly.
Well, if they do it once or twice, okay. But when it's more than five, that's when it goes a little overboard.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that people would find the ability to use better...
Not being used to my ability.
I'm just sitting there.
That's very scientific.
Oh, man, it's so bad. But anyway, Allison Hannigan, she's great on the show called How I Met Your Mother. I don't know if you guys have seen that on CBS. I really like that show. It's pretty funny. Good replacement to Friends, because you guys know how much I love Friends, right?
Gosh, I think you loved it as much as me.
Speaking of me, let's check out what's on your TiVo. All right, guys, let's talk about the first show this week, and that's Smallville. Let's talk about Smallville. I don't know if you guys got to watch Smallville, but... I did. Okay, here's what happens. Chloe is haunted by a ghost. She cuts her wrist and is put in the hospital, and people think she's suicidal, but really she was slightly possessed by a murdered spirit. Soon they find a skeleton in the bathroom of the restaurant, the coffee shop, you know, that used to be a movie theater, Steven?
Right.
Chloe goes to touch the skeleton. It has a kryptonite bracelet on, and the spirit enters her body.
Kryptonite ghost. Awesome.
So, yeah, kryptonite ghost. So basically what happens is everyone thinks Chloe's nuts, and Lana and Lex are going to institutionalize her, where he was put in an institution because it really helped him. Clark doesn't want her to be locked up, so he tries to help her. And what ends up happening is a guy, an orderly, is a serial killer. To make a story short, he kidnaps Lois Lane, puts her in his basement, and the vengeful spirit who's inhabiting Chloe's body goes to find him to kill him, and all she has is a taser gun. Of course, you know, he gets it away from her, and he ties them both to a chair and is going to make Lois cut her wrists while Chloe watches. It's pretty gruesome Smallville. What ends up happening is Clark tries to save the day, but that damn kryptonite bracelet makes him lay on the floor and go, oh, you know. What happens is the spirit enters the killer's body, which is a lot better idea, and he kills himself. So that's the episode. Did you guys enjoy that?
Wow, yes. I'm sorry I missed it.
No, it was a silly episode. You know, they kind of had like a thriller, kind of scary movie kind of feel. And it did get the vibe over well. It was entertaining. It was like a Chloe episode. See Chloe run the gamut from, you know, nice and cheerful all the time to total insane person. And it brought up a subplot that Chloe has a mother who's been in an institution most of her life. And she's afraid to go visit her mom. She's afraid she's going to be like her mom and be a nut job. So at the very end, there was a touching scene where she visits her mom in the nut house. And that shows her embracing her. They never show her mom's face either. They just show her touch her face and then they embrace. So her mom is probably like someone to be revealed later, like Rhett Butler or something like that.
Or they don't want to, you know, pay an actor, so they use like a... You know,
they don't want, ma'am, we don't want to pay you. Here's $5. Don't you turn around, lady. I'll tell you that much. You're not a member of SAG. Now, but I will tell you this. Forget this episode because the preview to next week is incredible. Just listen to this preview.
Thursday, between the flesh.
What are you doing to me?
You die without this gadgetry.
And the machine lies a new hero.
What the hell are you made of?
I was just about to ask you that.
I hit him full on. Didn't have a scratch on him.
Cyborg Smallville.
Cyborg
Smallville. And there's this guy who's a this black dude who's a cyborg.
Awesome.
Ah.
Great show, huh?
I'm sorry, I don't watch it.
All right, moving on to Veronica Mars. Hey, did you guys like Veronica Mars this week?
Loved it. It was an excellent episode.
Did you really see it, Steven?
No.
Going nowhere.
Dang it! Did you see it, Vanessa?
I've never watched the show once.
Okay, well, it's a really good episode. Let's just play
this
a clip.
Bad.
2x2. Apparently, you can only enter the carnival as if it were the Ark.
Slushies!
It's not a carnival until somebody shows butt cheek.
I'm out here with my special lady friend, and I gotta see that.
Not a big fan of the Triton's annual tuck and run?
May I have the cash box, please? This day gets any crazier.
Yeah, so it's gone. What are you talking about? I just gave it to you, and I put it in there, and now it's gone.
So basically what happens is, a cash box is stolen at the school carnival, and it's up to Veronica to figure out who did it.
They're running out of ideas, aren't they?
No, this was a really good episode because you get to see how Veronica uncovers crimes. And, you know, it's like Nancy Drew. I really think you should check it out. It was a really good episode, and it was tied together nicely. I'm sorry I haven't lately been giving Veronica Mars enough attention, but it was gone for like a month, and it gets pushed down. I'm sorry. You got to wow me to get back in my good graces. This was a good episode, but I will say this much. It is a great show. I'm not going to sell it short, but, you know, moving on. Did you guys check this week's 24?
Yes, yes, I did.
At the end of last week, we find out that Walt Cummins is a bad guy, and Jack threatened to cut out his eyeball. You guys remember that? That was a great scene.
Yes.
Well, this week, it starts out with them really talking Walt Cummins up and asking him, what the hell was he thinking? Let's check it out.
6 months ago by a man named James Nathanson. He was my contact.
Who is he?
Former CIA. Said he was recruiting like-minded individuals for this initiative.
Initiative? Is that what you call this?
You helped terrorists acquire weaponized nerve gas!
I told you we were going to trigger the canisters once the separatists reached their base in Central Asia. This was not supposed to happen.
But it happened! You got into bed with these people, and now they're threatening
what?
To use
he
the gas
sex
on
with
American
them?
Citizens.
Oh, you make it sound like our goal was to kill Americans.
You make it sound
what
dirty.
What the hell was your goal, Walt? Explain that to me.
It was love.
It was a little dirty.
It's a new thing.
So basically, Walt Cummings is like a horrible chief of staff.
You
made
think?
A deal with some terrorists, and it's now backfired.
It never works out that way.
And these guys, well, apparently they have the canisters, but they can't get the, what was it, the explosive device that sets the canisters off doesn't work. So they get in touch with some old crotchety Russian agent or something. Is that what he was?
Yeah, it was Barry from Resident Evil.
Right, Barry Burton.
Yeah.
Barry? So anyway, they call this guy, and he's telling them, you know, hey, go to a local mechanic, and he'll blowtorch that sucker open or whatever. So they do.
That was the exact dialogue, too.
And don't you hate when the guy's like, just do what I say and we'll let you go. And you just go, dude, it's a terrorist. He's going to freaking kill you.
I know. All those men surrounding you, I doubt they're going to let you go.
What I would have done is I would have used the drill bit and just punctured a hole in the gas and killed everybody.
There you go.
You'd be a hero.
And die.
So eventually they do find this bad guy. And it turns out the girl from the previews, like a 15-year-old Russian sex slave or something.
Yeah, yeah, she sold into sex.
And you're like, oh, thank God Jack saved this poor girl. But what it turns out is they need this information from the Barry Burton, the Russian Barry Burton. But he makes a deal. I will not give you what you want unless you give me a pardon and you let me take my sex slave. And they agree to it even though Jack doesn't want to. How crazy was that?
I know.
But
I can't believe he agreed to it, but I guess he had no choice.
The sex slave's name is Vanessa, by the way.
Ram.
This is what she had to say about it.
No! 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 Hold your fire! Get a medic in here, now! Vanessa, give me the gun. I know you don't want to hurt anybody else.
Yeah, Vanessa, give him the gun.
Is he gonna make it?
I think her name was Anessa.
Nah, it's Vanessa. Who cares? It's Anessa? I think it's Vanessa. But anyway, she kills the guy, so now they're screwed. So at the very end of the episode, Badger from Firefly is about to call, and the guy's dead, so what do they do? So we'll have to wait till next week. But you know what? This is another example. This episode, each episode, they kind of almost do something that they've done before, but then they trick it up. Do you know what I'm talking about, Vanessa?
Yeah.
Like, there was the year that Nina asked for a pardon, and they had to give it to her. This guy asks for pardon, but he dies in the same episode. I love it. I can't wait to see what happens the rest of the season.
It keeps you wondering what's going to happen. You can never predict it. That's what I like.
Yeah, they keep playing with us with their old kind of things that have happened.
Yeah, because you remember before, it would be like, okay, this is going to take 2 weeks to figure out what's going on. And
yeah.
And they do it within one episode.
Right. Boom. And boom goes the dynamite. I mean, that's the way it's been this week. It's been awesome.
Yes, it always goes boom goes the dynamite.
Exactly, Steven.
And yes. Boom goes the dynamite.
Now, I know we're blowing through this quick, but I got to get to this. And that's this week's Lost. Of course, we start off every Lost segment with a sound clip. Let's check out what happened.
Look who had to relocate to the suburbs. Ain't that just like a woman? She keeps a house, you get the cheap-ass apartment. Man, I thought these people hated me. I gotta hand it to you. Still in a baby, trying to drown it. Now that's a new low. Even made Locke take a swing at you. Hell, that's like getting Gandhi to beat his kids.
Should you be more worried about Jack ransacking your tent right now?
What the hell you think you're doing?
You stole these from the hatch.
You stole them from me.
What?
They were in my stash when I left. I just took back what was mine.
These belong to all of us, Sawyer. To the group.
You have a stash.
Oh, me. Seriously, Doc, you don't want to do this. Just give me the pills. We'll forget it ever happened.
Just give him his Vicodin, Jack.
Last chance, Doc.
Heard Jack took your painkillers.
Yeah, well, I guess me and the Doc are on the outs. One less Christmas card I'll have to send this year.
Maybe that'll cheer you up. It's from the hatch. I know you're hard up for new reading material.
Well, as much as I'd like to learn to feather my hair, I lost my damn glasses on the raft.
I thought he did like to feather his hair.
What, you got an appointment or something?
All right.
The hell is it?
To tell if he's a sensitive man.
Sort of.
Morning.
Hey, John.
Now, there's a sensitive man.
Claire asked to sleep down here.
Come on. Locke's got himself needs. Just like anyone else.
Locke's got needs.
Not everyone is like you, Sawyer.
I love Sawyer in this episode.
Guess
he was
that's
great.
Why old Jacko and Anna Lulu asked me to join their revolution. What, you didn't hear about their little army?
Nope.
Guess I'm not the only one on the outside.
So basically, Anna Lucia and Jack have this lame army they're trying to form, but no one wants to join it.
Would you blame them?
And so then all of a sudden, Sun gets kidnapped, and naturally, Sawyer comes up with this idea, and I think it too is that Anna Lucia did this to kind of make people like, oh God, we're not safe. Let's start an army. Let's join this army. You get played the whole episode. And let me just say this, that, you know, I've been real hard on Lost the last 3-4 episodes, I don't know.
With all due reason.
Yes. You know, some people are like, no, Jason, you gotta watch, like, the DVD set. You gotta watch them all back to back. It's like, no. They haven't been very good episodes. This week was an awesome episode. I think this is the best episode of the season. I hope you got to see it, Steven, did you?
Yes, I did.
This is why I liked it, because the episode fooled me. I thought I knew exactly where it was going, and then boom, switches around on you. This whole episode's about Sawyer and how he was a con man back in the real world. And it shows that, I mean, they said it twice in the show, a tiger can't change his stripes. And that's exactly it. He's a con man, and that's what happens. Basically what happens is Charlie and him screw over Jack and Locke and make them look like idiots, and they get all the guns out of the hatch. They trick Locke into taking all the guns out. They think that Jack and Anna Lucia are going to come and get them. They're going to tear the door down. They need these guns to go after whoever went after Sun. But it turns out at the very end, it was Charlie and Sawyer. And I love
what?
And I love when Sawyer says, there's a new sheriff in town. And he's got like his little AK-47. And he even says, hey, you could kill me if you want, but you're never going to find the damn guns.
Exactly. Well, does Charlie know where they are, or no?
I don't know. I know that they show at the end, they show Sawyer giving him the Virgin Mary statues. He says he doesn't want them, but I don't know if the guns are in the same spot.
I don't think so. I think probably Charlie told him where Locke hid the guns, and he went and got them and moved them. That's probably what happened.
I don't think he would have told Sawyer. Charlie was following Locke the whole time because Locke was so frantic trying to hide the guns that he didn't realize that somebody was following him.
Right.
And let's face it, Charlie has become kind of spooky, how he has his Nazgul-like hood up all the time now, showing he's evil. Look, I have my hoodie up. I'm evil.
I am gangsta.
But I love he says, I just wanted Locke to look like a fool. And that's exactly what he did. He made them all look like fools. There is kind of a neat part at the end where there's a little subplot with Hurley and Saeed. You know, they drove up together in a Ford pickup for their, on the set this week. And he fixed this little shortwave walkie-talkie, and he picks up, like, a classical station. But what I think was funny is that at first you hear, he's like, whoa, whoa, what is that? And he goes, it's just Rousseau's signal. And he keeps going past it. It's like, nothing even, that was last season. But he finds this old, doesn't it sound like some 40s era radio or something?
Yeah, it's Glenn Miller.
Yeah.
Are they back in time? Are they in some pocket of
time?
Yeah,
they made a joke about it. And he's like, I don't think so, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what I love. It's almost like, they read message boards and they go, oh man, look at this theory. And then they decide, hey, let's mention that in the show to kind of discount it,
Well, because when they said that, I was like, oh, please don't say they're going to be, went back in time or something.
Yeah, it's like the Final Countdown, that Kirk Douglas movie.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like there's so many theories, like the first ones you could hear are the ones we've been beaten to death with, like, oh, I know what it is. They're all dead. They're in purgatory or something. Oh, no, I know what it is. Their fears are manifested on the island. Like, I would hope that they would sit around a table and come up, okay, what are all the obvious answers? Okay, let's throw those out because that's not what it is. But let's tease the audience. And, when they're teasing us like that playfully, I like it. But it's episodes like the last couple where it just seems unimaginative. That's when it bothers me.
Right. Well, it felt like it wasn't going anywhere. It felt like, okay, we kind of stop the regular, the big overall plot, and we're going to stop right there and just do these little stories. And that's where it got kind of irritating to me.
Next week looks pretty interesting. It looks like the clock runs to zero.
Yeah.
In the hatch or something. But you never know. They always tease us on the previews. Like, didn't you think all week, oh my God, Sun's getting kidnapped? But she wasn't. She was fine, like, seconds later.
Yeah.
She just bonked her head.
The first 10 minutes, it was done.
Yeah. So don't let them fool us. The counter's not going to run to zero. I'm going to say right now that it's probably a flashback or somebody's dreaming. But, we'll see. If it does run to zero, that's awesome. I can't wait to see it.
Exactly. Finally, it's one to look forward to.
That's right. I can't wait to get to it. Let's talk about this week's Battlestar Galactica. Alright, this week's Battlestar Galactica features China Beach's Dana Delaney.
No, what was it? No, Exit to Eden's.
Yeah, Exit to Eden's Dana Delaney.
That's right. That's how
she
always
naked, wandering around through
she's
yes,
an
completely fuck naked.
She's an angry woman whose husband was sucked out of a hole of a ship, so now she hates Cylons.
Yeah.
Even though the guy was alone when he died, she still remembers it. I always laugh at that on TV shows and people remember or flashback to something when they weren't even there.
Or maybe she's watching it happen.
Yeah, they should have shown, flip the camera around and she's in, a bulkhead with a window going, no, as he's getting sucked out. But they never showed that, so it's just like, how does she know that's what happened?
She's flashing back to a memory she thinks what might have happened.
Right. And she could have even said it like, I can only imagine what happened to him.
The Donnie.
No, it's probably better they never showed that. So what happens on this episode is Billy proposes to Duala, or Dee, as they affectionately call her. She turns him down, so he's sad. cut to Cloud Nine, the ship that seems cool on the show, but I don't think I'd ever want to go there after all the crap that happens on that ship. Terrorists with the leader, Dana Delaney, take over Cloud Nine.
The
reason is everyone knows through rumors in the fleet that Galactica is now harboring a Cylon informant, I guess. Is that what they're calling her?
Military asset.
Yeah. And they want the Galactica to turn over... Yeah, Boomer. They want Galactica to turn over Boomer because they want to kill her, execute her, because they're sick of those damn Cylons. So naturally, okay, in the bar on the Cloud Nine, you have Apollo there on a date with Duala, and Billy shows up, and it's real awkward scene there. It's like, oh, hey, Billy. And it's like, huh? It's like from a different show, you know? That's what I love about Battlestar Galactica. It's not a sci-fi show. It's drama.
It's set in space. But
right.
Drama set in space.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in a space bar drinking space cocktails, but it's about the people.
Space wasted.
And I thought that Dana Delaney's performance in this was outstanding.
Yeah.
And how is she holding up? Does she look good?
I'm going to say that she's holding up really good.
Yeah, she is. She's what, in her late 40s? Or?
Right. I have no idea, but I'm going to say this was Emmy-worthy performance.
Emmy-worthy.
That's right, Foggy. Emmy-worthy.
Wow, Emmy-worthy, huh?
Yeah.
That's
even though they don't, I don't think they give Emmys to sci-fi shows like this.
They don't give Emmys to anything good.
No.
To cut the story short, though, they don't negotiate with terrorists. Adama isn't about to turn over Boomer. Throughout the course of the episode, they keep talking back and forth with Dana Delaney. So finally, to cut the story short, Adama decides, okay, we'll give you the dead body of the Cylon. And you know exactly what he's going to do right then, didn't you? He's going to give him the old corpse that's in the freezer.
The other Boomer.
I can't even forget to mention that they send Starbuck in there with some Marines to handle it. She's going to, mess with the oxygen sensors that Apollo screwed up. And, of course, it's a total cluster F. Everyone's shooting everybody, and Starbuck shoots Apollo on accident. Friendly fire.
No.
That happens a lot.
It's very shocking.
Yeah, right.
Poor Starbuck. Obviously, she's totally messed up over it. I thought that, man, this episode was awesome.
End of story.
It was a heart-wrenching episode. It was just really sad.
Billy!
Steven, here's a spoiler. If no one's seen it yet, spoiler alert. Okay, they deliver the dead Boomer body. Dead Boomer body! And she shoots the corpse in the head several times. You can see how much anger's in her. But then they realize, wait, she has stitches in her chest. This is an old body. This isn't the model that they wanted. The model Cylon, that is. Not a supermodel.
Well, they do want a supermodel.
Right then, a gunfight ensues, and Billy goes for a gun. Where, earlier Dee was like, I see you eyeing that guy with a gun. Don't be a hero. You don't have to prove anything. And he goes, I know I don't have to prove anything. So he goes for the gun and he shoots the bad guy, but the bad guy shoots him. And at first, didn't you think he was just winged, like on the arm?
Yeah.
So when it all dies down, Dee is crying over him and you see blood pouring out of his mouth. And I was like, oh no.
He's dead, General.
Oh, Billy.
Billy is killed in this episode, Steven.
Poor no.
Billy, and you know Dee has to feel
Billy.
So guilty. Oh, I cheated on you. Oh, bad idea.
Yeah, and she was cheating on him, man. But I was kind of blown away by that. And there was even a nice moment where he goes, did you know this guy who, was her husband? He goes, he was my brother. He was a good man. He goes, well, my brother was killed on PyCon. He was a good man. They're all good men. And then Billy's killed. And you have that kind of echoing in your head. Another good man is killed.
Right.
If the humans keep killing each other, do the Cylons need anything to do?
No,
it's like more and more humans are killing each other each episode.
Well, that's what they're saying. It's part of nature.
Yeah, it's our very nature. And there's this kind of creepy scene at the end where you show Boomer kind of lying there peacefully. I have a feeling she's playing all of them until her baby is born.
Oh, yeah. Of course. She's going to help him while she can.
There's a great scene where Adama even says to her, he goes, if I wanted you to name all the agents, sleeper Cylon agents in the fleet, would you? And she says, no. And he goes, that I believe. I believe when you say that.
Yeah.
So next week, it looks like another good episode, so can't wait to see what happens. You know, I know I'm biased against Battlestar Galactica, but thumbs up. Good episode.
Or I'll be staying up really late to watch it.
Yeah, because they replay it. Yeah,
they do. They rerun it like at midnight here. Steven showing off in those drums again. God, such a showboater. That's right, Battlestar Galactica.
Does he do you that way?
Yes, he does do you that way. Hey, guys, we blew through our TV shows really fast this week. Isn't that crazy?
What about the number one? I don't know if you saw it.
Uh-oh, what is it?
You mentioned Earl.
My Name is Earl. Yes, I did see it. What did you think of it this week, Steven?
I could not stop laughing. This is probably one of my favorite episodes so far.
Oh, I remember Earl ends up knocking over a bus stop sign.
Yes.
And he says he'll be back to write the stop sign. And he put it on his list, but he gets distracted.
He'll be back the next day.
Yeah, he'll be back the next day. And what happens is he forgets to, and the bus never stops at this bus stop. So these people are standing there, and the bus keeps driving by. And I love there's even a guy who holds up a sign that says, "This is a bus stop." The bus keeps driving.
Every time the bus misses, something bad happens to Earl.
That's right. Like
the karma's getting him.
A dart hits him in the arm. that's right. They get a stolen laptop and decide to return it to its owner, right?
Correct.
Which and
is, Christine, what's her name?
Yeah, Christine Taylor. Ben Stiller's wife is in this. And it's someone he went to school with?
No, he stole it. He didn't know who it belonged to. He stole it out of a car.
Right. And
when he found out it was at a college, he kind of freaked out because he'd never been to a college before.
And it kind of showed how he dealt with smart people his whole life. He always punched them.
Yeah.
When he
got mad at Karma and said Karma couldn't hurt him anymore, then Karma went after the thing he loved.
Right.
Her.
And what it is he meets her and he tells her all about his karma. And she's so fascinated by this, she has him speak to her class about karma. And he talks about his life and everything. And she's just blown away by him, and she starts getting feelings for him. But at the same time, Karma keeps, like, he gets hit by a dart, he gets hit in the head with a frisbee, and meanwhile...
And you can see she doesn't quite believe in it at first until...
She sees it happening. And Randy is having fun joining a frat, and he's getting drunk, riding around on a tricycle. But the best part about that is when they're doing the initiation where they paddle you know, Vanessa?
Uh-huh.
You know, "Thank you, sir, may I have another?" And he goes... "I'm sorry, but if you paddle me, I'm going to be, I'm going to kick somebody's ass." And he goes, "Why would you want to do that anyway?" He goes, "Because we get to take it on you guys because we got paddled last year, you know, our initiation." He goes, "Why don't you paddle the guys that paddled you?" And they're like, "Hey," and they all start hitting each other with paddles. And he's like, "This is entertaining. I never thought seeing men paddle each other would be entertaining." Something like that, but it was really funny.
But and then Earl being stung by the bees, and he's got the allergic reaction.
Yeah, he says, "Screw Karma, I'm going to stick with a girl," because he's interested in her. And bees start stinging him, and he starts swelling up in the ears and lips. Oh, man, it was disgusting looking.
I could not look at it. I was laughing so hard.
Oh, it was horrible.
It was awesome.
And finally, it takes him like 5 minutes to fix the bus stop sign at the end. He could have just done that in like minutes. I love Earl. I'm sorry we haven't been paying a lot of attention to
him. I probably should give it another chance. I do.
You know, it's the kind of thing when you start at the beginning, you learn who the characters are. I mean, it's not a real complicated show, but it's really funny. You might have just seen an episode that wasn't overly funny. We really built the show up too much to you.
Yeah,
but
it's your fault.
This one was really funny. I mean, I was almost crying with laughter at it.
Yeah, it's a great show. And speaking of great shows, let's do the movie drops game. We haven't done it in a long time.
Oh
you
my
want
gosh,
to?
I forgot about it. Sure. Oh.
Let's do it. It's time for the movie drops game. The game where I play sound clips and you try to guess what the movie is. Are you ready to play? Yes, we are, Jason. Yes, we are, me. All right, guys.
Talking to himself.
Here's how we're going to play it. Vanessa, you'll go first. Steven will go second. If Steve, you know, either one of you miss, the other person gets to guess.
Okay.
Don't guess until after the third clue. The audience is playing along at home. Here is clue number one.
You're off the edge of the map, mate. Here there be monsters.
Now for clue number two. Ready, Vanessa?
I'm ready.
You seem somewhat familiar. Have I threatened you before?
All right. And clue number three.
I'm disinclined to acquiesce to your request.
All right, Vanessa, what's the movie?
Oh, it's the one with Johnny Depp.
I must have the title.
Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl.
That is it. Yes, it is. All right, Vanessa, one up. All right, Stephen, you ready for yours?
I'm ready.
All right, Stephen, here is clue number one.
She was masturbating!
All right, here is clue number two.
I love Ruben!
And clue number three.
Those goofy bastards are just about the best thing I've got going in this crazy world.
All right, Stephen, what's the movie?
That would be There's Something About Mary.
Oh, wow. Sunk it, baby.
Wow.
We have a tie.
Woo! All right, Stephen. Woo! I'll be the audience.
Good job, buddy. Movie number three. You both get guesses. Here is clue number one.
All right, remember, alcohol equals puke equals smelly mess equals nobody likes you.
All right, here is clue number two.
He's losing his mind, and I'm reaping all the benefits.
All right, and here's clue number three.
Why would any girl ever marry me?
Marry you? I'm just trying to get someone to play with your ding-dong.
All right.
Wedding singer.
Oh, Vanessa got it.
What did she say?
Wedding singer.
Wedding singer.
Oh, yeah.
I got it on the
did
last
Did you know
one.
It, Steven?
Yeah, I did.
All right, Stephen.
I just couldn't hear what she said. I didn't know if she named it right.
She did. Now, here's a bonus drop, Stephen. If you get this...
We tie.
You tie. Now, if you get this, you beat Vanessa, because it's so hard. You guys ready?
All righty.
But the worst thing I ever done, I mixed up all this fake puke at home, and then I went to this movie theater, hid the puke in my jacket, climbed up to the balcony, and then... Then I made a noise like this. And then I dumped it over the side. And all the people in the audience, then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other. I never felt so bad in my entire life.
All right, Stephen, what's the movie?
Goonies.
That's it. Vanessa, you weren't supposed to guess. You have been disqualified. Vanessa's been disqualified. Stephen is the winner.
Oh, by default. Congratulations.
By default.
I did know that one, by the way. So
you just didn't get a chance to answer, did you?
I'm sorry. I thought you said go ahead.
Listen to the instructions beforehand.
I'll hang my head in shame.
Vanessa, you could pull one out, Vanessa, by doing a great news segment.
All right.
Let's do it. I hope you don't want to hurt anyone, Vanessa.
Yes, I do.
Or Anessa. What do you got in the news this week?
All right. The gym that brought New Yorkers cardio striptease has dreamed up a new stiletto strength, a workout to get women in shape to wear the highest of heels. At a recent lunchtime session at Crunch Gym near Times Square, dancer Amber Eef demonstrated how to strut like a catwalk model, pivoting on 6-inch heels that would challenge even the most ardent lover of shoes.
Imagine
that you're at the bar. Raise one hand high like you're holding your drink. And this is what she's telling the classes as they're going. So crunch class consists of circus sports and cycle karaoke. And National Fitness Director It said the most popular non-traditional class in most recent years was the cardio striptease, which is aerobics with a sexy twist.
Nice.
Yeah, Stiletto Strength was launched in January in response to client griping about getting back into high heels for the winter. Yes, that's right.
Wow.
I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. Oh. You know what I'm talking about. Oh.
Thanks, Foggy.
But, I'm sorry, wasn't there this huge story about how high heels are bad for you?
This lady's teaching a class on how to wear really high heels.
You're carrying a drink, like a tray,
uh-huh.
And you go up on your tiptoes.
You like put a book on your head?
And you have to walk around like it teaches you how to do the catwalk like they're on, you know, the models, and it's supposed to help strengthen your legs.
Can men take this class?
If you want to get your ass kicked, sure, go right ahead.
You have to ask me nicely.
Why would you get your ass kicked?
Guys walking around in 6-inch heels, don't you think they get your ass kicked? Oh, wait, you're in San Francisco.
Good brain.
Never mind.
No, I mean just to watch the class. It'd be hilarious.
Underwater karate.
Right.
Pay to see Jason in 6-inch stilettos.
What? You sick bastard.
I don't know what's scarier, Jason in stilettos or the fact that you would pay to see it.
Does he do me that
Come
way?
On.
No, he doesn't, Foggy. Stop it.
And here's a quick story, but
this
I thought it was
is so exciting.
Yeah, zippers! All right. In Athens, Greek robbers Thursday drove a car through the front door of
Greek
a bank.
Greek.
Yes, like it's all Greek to me.
Oh, okay.
They drove their car through the front door of an Athens bank, got the cash, and drove out as the customers and the staff looked on completely stunned. They drove into the bank, like literally into the lobby of the bank, robbed the place, jumped into the car, and backed out.
Nice.
Everybody was so shocked and stunned, nobody did anything. And nobody was hurt, of course, but talk about having a getaway car right at the door. I just thought it was funny because people were in such shock, nobody knew how to react.
That's genius. Hey, Vanessa, I remember on an episode of Super Chicken, this evil villain named the Noodle robbed a bank with a green cat and a vacuum cleaner. He set the green cat loose in the bank. When everyone was looking at the green cat, he vacuumed all the money up. He was a genius.
And everybody's favorite skank? Britney Spears.
Oh, no. What'd she do this time?
She said, I made a mistake when I drove with my car and a 5-month-old baby son in her lap. She made a mistake.
Well,
that's what it is.
Well. Look who it is. Hi, bitch.
In this picture, she looks huge. But anyway, Spears came in for criticism by U.S. media after photographs taken by the agency X17 showed her at the wheel of a large sports utility vehicle with her infant son.
Oh, wait. Sean. I think we have a clip of this.
Oh, okay.
Let's check it out.
Now, Britney initially blamed aggressive paparazzi for frightening her into the poor decision. But now, upon more reflection, is accepting some of the responsibility.
It's kind of like, you know, I made a mistake, and so it is what it is, I guess.
That being said, she's not taking all the blame.
What's with this ridiculous
music? The situation
music?
That I was in, it was kind of bad, you know, with the paparazzi. And the last week, my mom, we went out, and they just kind of, like, were really on us bad. So it's just, you know, you do instinctively what you need to do.
Did you guys count how many times she said, you know?
I counted the likes.
Like, you know, like the paparazzi, they're, like, chasing me. So I just threw my baby in the car.
Hello.
Yeah.
This is so ridiculous. First of all, I don't care who's chasing you. Put your baby in a car seat.
Yeah, let's see what's worse, having your picture taken or killing your child.
Yeah, it's like, well, we're in her... Okay, first of all, they're photographers. They're going to take your picture. They're not going to hit you over the head or attack you, even though I know that they get a little overzealous. But you can strap your baby in. Just stop being silly, all right?
You're in public! You're in public, and you're a celebrity, and you're holding your new child. What are you expecting? You know, it's what celebrity said that when you are famous, you don't want the photographers around, but the moment you want them around, they're not around anymore.
Who is your daddy?
One day she's going to be, God, I wish I had somebody around. She'll walk around
naked. I wish somebody would pay attention to me.
I mean, send your driver to go get you a Frappuccino or something. I mean, come on.
Come on!
Exactly.
Oh, here, this is my favorite. This is kind of like the quote. Being put in the situation that I was in, it was kind of bad with the paparazzi. Last week, my mom and me went out, and they were, like, honest, really bad. So it's just, you know, You do instinctively what you need to do. So I'm just reiterating what she just said so you can hear the exact words.
Yeah, she used instinct. It was her instinct. Well, your instinct was wrong. I mean, I don't really care what happens to her and her baby. I mean, it's sad. The baby, it's not the baby's fault, but it's so silly when, you know, it's the news, they stick a microphone. Why did you do that? Why didn't you strap your baby? And her reason is just so stupid. It's just really dumb, isn't it?
But don't go, I was like,
I want to kiss you.
That's the problem with a lot of people. She's just one of those people who just blames everybody else for her own actions.
Right. Now, Steven, how do you feel about this?
It's like you said, you know, doesn't she have a few seconds to secure her child?
That, yeah.
That's instinct.
It takes, yeah. Honestly, how long does it take to strap a baby in a car seat? You lay them down, you put the thing over their head, click. It's
a crock of shit.
Exactly.
She's just full of it.
All right, moving on.
All right. In London, Britons texting St. Valentine's Day love messages next Tuesday should be careful they do not send them to the wrong person.
Uh-oh.
A poll of 3,000 mobile phone users that found that 40% will be texting rather than sending cards, and that 1 in 4 have misdirected a provocative text or photo at one time or another. Recipients of the unwanted text included boss or colleagues, 9% of them. 3%
That's a huge bitch!
That naked pictures or provocative sayings to their parents on accident, and most embarrassing of all, ex-partners. So like their ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend they accidentally sent this stuff to.
Can I, this is a little off subject, but it's on subject. It's about Valentine's Day. This year, I'm going to surprise Heather by beatboxing how much I loved her.
Oh, yeah. Woo!
She will love me.
I would like to hear you actually beatbox. That would be something hilarious to hear. She will divorce you in 30 seconds flat.
Exactly.
You sounded like Dirty Harry just then.
Why, thank you, Edie McClurg.
But the survey found that 60% of respondents had sent a flirty text to someone other than their regular partner, although not without consequences. Of those who admitted cheating, 65% had been caught out by their cell phone, with a third saying their partner had read incriminating text messages. So here's a few tips. If you're going to send out something that, you know, a nice little message, keep it short. Observe the two-day rule. Get in touch after meeting someone within 2 days. No longer. Do not drink and text. That's a big one.
Drunk texting. It's got to stop.
That's wheels off.
X's, you know, for kisses at the end of a message should not exceed 3. And be careful about picture messaging, which others may get their hands on. And
that's a great thing.
Yeah. Adhere to the 2-text rule. Admit defeat if you have not received a reply after 12 hours and 2 text messages. In other words, give up. Don't be a stalker.
Yeah, don't keep sending text messages, Steven.
Not being used to my ability.
Come on, they're asking for it.
Have you ever done that, though?
Just another word for love.
What was that, Vanessa?
Have you ever done that where you sent a message, like even an email or a text message to the wrong person?
I don't think so. Oh, the funniest thing I ever did, but it's not, I posted in the wrong TV forum. Something had happened on this show that's already been canceled called, oh man, I don't even remember what it was called. But anyway, this guy gets, raped in it. And I was like, that was pretty shocking, the man rape scene, but I posted in the wrong forum. I posted it in, like, the show called The 4400, and I was like, you know, it was like, that was pretty shocking, the man rape scene, and this guy wrote, he goes, I missed that scene, when the hell did that happen? It wasn't even the same show.
Oh my God.
When I realized it, I just started laughing my ass off. It was so funny. But I could just see the guy fast-forwarding through. I don't see a man rape scene. Genius.
I did the text message thing before where I think I had gotten in a fight with my ex-boyfriend, one of my ex-boyfriends.
Whoa. And, did it come to blows?
No. Like an argument. So I was texting my friend to tell her, I am so pissed off, he's such an asshole. I sent it to him.
Genius.
So.
And of course, you know what I do? I'm like, you're damn right, I sent it to you.
I would send it to you like you're somebody else. That's how much of an a-hole you are.
Well, he's trying to go, what are you talking about? Our problems. He was doing that. Why are you talking about our problems to someone else? I'm like, no, I meant to send it to you.
Covering your tracks up.
Yeah, he goes, then why did you say he is such an asshole? I'm like,
you look like assholes right now, man.
That's great, Vanessa. Genius.
I've done that a couple times, and that was one of the most embarrassing. But...
Never text mad.
Text mad? Or drunk. All right, last but not least, in Rome, an Italian atheist lost his legal crusade against the Catholic Church on Thursday when a judge rejected his attempts to sue a priest for saying that Jesus existed 2,000 years ago.
Jesus!
Luigi Cascioli, 72, had argued his hometown priest and former schoolmate had effectively broken an Italian law meant to protect people in the public from being conned. He said they were being conned.
That doesn't
make sense. They said Jesus existed, and that's a con. So he wanted to get recompense for it.
But he wanted instead, to get what?
He wanted to get money for it because there's a law in Italy against people being conned, but the public being conned. And he's saying that them saying Jesus exists is a huge con, and he should
Hello,
get money.
Hello, Frisco.
So he was saying they don't have proof Jesus exists, so it's a con, and he wanted money. But the judge, of course, didn't grant him his request. And requested, the judge recommended the magistrates investigate him for slandering the priest. And of course, what did the priest say? Thank God it's over. I thought that was fitting. Yes. But that's all I got.
What are you looking at, butthead?
Well, thank you, Vanessa, for this week's news. It was great.
Any time.
Struggling.
Exactly. How would you guys like to do the DVD segment? All right, let's start the little DVD music.
I miss the gumshoe music. Steven is doing the DVD. Hey, let me know change. Put money in the glass and tip your waitresses.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was the wrong one. Foggy, we want the real DVD music. No, that's not it. Oh, geez.
Star
Froggy.
Killer.
Yeah, Eugene Star Killer. All right, there we go.
Hey, love you, don't
cool
change.
Daddy. DVDs.
Oh, yeah, that vixen walked in.
Silver discs of movies. You place in trays. It closes, you play, and then a movie starts. What am I talking about?
I have no idea.
That I do not know. February 11th, 2006. DVDs this week. All right.
Short. You never play the whole thing.
It's a 12-minute song.
Is it?
There's nothing I can't do with a race car.
Okay. Steven, hey, you're going to do DVDs this week. What do we got this weekend? DVD.
Hey, DVDs for February 14th.
February 14th, that sounds familiar. What day is that? That's
St. Patty's Day?
That's Valentine's.
Oh, Hallmark Day.
T-I-M-E-S. Times.
Yeah, Valentine's. I love that.
All right, Stephen, what we got this week?
Valentine's Day. Okay, looks like 1986 release of Club Paradise, the Robin Williams classic.
I saw that in the theater.
Come on.
Club Paradise, genius movie.
Yeah, where they're trying to get pot.
Oh, it looks like...
Crock of shit.
Steven, clear. Beats.
Wait, what else, Steven? What?
Does he have a pulse? Beep!
Steven, you there?
Hello?
It's like,
hey, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
All right, Steven, what else we got?
Deal of the Century, another old release being released now.
Wait, Deal of the Century? Isn't that with Chevy Chase?
That would be.
Oh,
him.
Yeah.
Yes!
One of the most unfunny people is the Bob Saget.
I like it.
I like it.
The Deal of the Century is a really bad movie.
Yeah. That was
all. That was on not too long ago, and the effects of the super jet flying around was so bad.
But, yeah, that lame CG back then or whatever
it
was. Yeah, I don't think it's CG.
I don't think it was CG.
They threw a model through the air and filmed it real quick.
On a string?
Exactly.
You've got troubles, Mac.
What else we got coming out this week?
Okay.
Any romantic
since I'm
movies?
Out in Frisco, it's The Frisco Kid. 1979.
Right. Are there any new movies coming out?
The Frisco Kid. Is that with Gene Wilder?
What about The Heavenly Kid? Is that coming out too?
Hello, Frisco.
Well, you do have a 2005 release, Grey's Anatomy Season 1.
Ooh.
I've never watched it.
Oh, I have, yeah.
Aren't all hospital shows the same, though?
Good show.
Pretty much. It's okay. It's good.
Who is your daddy?
All right, any feature films coming out this Tuesday? Any romantic February 14th Valentine's Day movies?
Mm.
You know what this reminds me of?
Yes, there is.
Oh, what is it?
It's called Zombie Honeymoon.
Ooh.
All right, whatever the hell that is.
I have no clue, but it
says...
God, I hate that drop.
1980s Up the Academy.
Bunch of old movies.
Holy shit! Up the Academy is coming out on DVD.
All about that movie.
That movie is pure genius. Thumbs up.
Zathura.
Zathura. A movie that came out recently.
Special edition will be coming out.
Have you seen that yet?
No, I haven't.
Directed by Vince Vaughn. No, wait. Directed by Jon Favreau.
John Favreau, who the hell?
Starring two bratty kids.
Yay! Also,
another one of your favorites, a Bill Murray movie, Quick Change.
Quick Change? Hot damn! Now that is one of my wife's favorite movies. I think I know what she's getting for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, right.
That is right, Edna. Why are you guys laughing? Is that a bad gift?
No.
No, it's always
Jesus
good to get your
Christ,
spouse
man,
something
some
you want.
There's things you don't talk about in public.
All right.
And I can read a bunch of these movies off. There's a bunch I've never heard of, but they seem relatively new. House of Nine, The Journey, Nine Lives.
Journey Escape.
Steven, are you still there? Yeah, you still got a heartbeat. I hear him.
Okay, good.
I'm still
okay.
Here. And I guess I'll end on Saw 2.
Saw 2? Did you guys see Saw? Or see Saw 1 or see Saw 2?
I see
Saw 1
when I was a little kid, but that was
Saw 1?
Was you saw Saw? I haven't seen Saw yet. Have you seen Saw, Steven?
No, I have not seen Saw.
Vanessa, you own Saw?
Yeah, because I got it with the buy one, get one free, and I needed to hurry.
Nah, no excuses.
I'm serious.
Can I ask you this about Saw, since you've seen it? Does it have anyone with purple satin butt pants?
No, purple satin butt pants?
Exactly.
I want everybody to use that in a sentence at least once today. Purple satin butt pants. That's what I heard.
Ah, the many Vanessa drops. Genius. Right, Steven?
That's a great thing.
Genius.
Yes, it is.
So, Sauce, Vanessa, lay off Steven. That's so mean.
I'm a Cylon.
That's Steven.
I think even they have more feeling.
We're using Steven the best of his ability.
I'm not being used to my ability.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I thought you were. Okay. What else?
No.
It's like a news story. Remember the news story he did? Yes, there's some...
Two shit hoes.
And,
wait, I have that, you guys.
It's exactly what it sounds like.
All right, Steven, you take over for a second. We always have to revisit this.
It's okay, too funny.
Killing me.
Let's see what else we have here in the news today.
This is my favorite part, listen.
Oh, this is painful.
A rescue helicopter has crashed.
Oh man, that's genius, Steve.
That's pretty much it. There's not a whole lot of good movies coming out this week.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Steven. right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in and not quitting on us.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody, and I hope you found us on our new feed. Remember, go to nowhereinmulberry.com. There you can find links to our forum, our message board, where you can talk to us about stuff, and the newly added chat room. Come and visit us Friday nights, and we'll chat with you about favorite TV shows and movies and stuff. Vanessa will be there. Steven will be there. I'll be there. Is that right, guys?
That's right.
Yes, we'll be there.
If you'd like to call and leave a voicemail like Mick McCart of the Captain Jolt podcast, he called the number that I'm going to give you, which is 1-206-202-3491, or write us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Before we go, guys, let's listen to who Kelly Clarkson forgot to thank when she won her Grammy.
And my management, I love you, Jeff Evan Quatnitz. And thank you to my date, Ashley Donovan, my first producer in my closet back home when I was a kid. Thank you to my mom. Thank you so much, Mom. I'm sorry I'm crying again on national television. But thank you to the fans. Thank you for everyone that worked on my record. And just thank you so much. You have no idea what this means to me. Thank you so much.
All right, get off the stage. Who did she forget to thank, Steven?
Would it be the American Idol show that got her where she's at?
I think that's who it is. And you know what's funny is I read this thing, like, shocking, as she forgot to thank. Well, it was like, she doesn't have to thank him, but I thought that was funny. Obviously, she's put that behind her, just like Clay Aiken has.
Where is Clay Aiken?
I don't know what happened to Clay Aiken.
In his homosexual closet somewhere.
Now, Steven, Steven.
He is San Francisco. What? Give him a break.
He is not gay.
He's offended.
Hello, Frisco.
Now, that's what my Aunt Judy tells me, who loves Clay Aiken. And I asked her, I said,
he's a claniac.
Yeah, she's a claniac. I said, he is gay, isn't he? She goes, no, he says he's not. And I said, well, he is, and someone really should tell him that he is. Well, obviously, he doesn't know.
The guy was gay. Gay.
Exactly.
There's not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, not that there's anything wrong with that. And on that note, guys, thank you for tuning in to episode 24 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Steven.
Yes.
I'd like to thank you for joining us this week on Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Vanessa?
No, thank you. No.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you, and thank you, American Idol.
Many people don't know that due to Steven, we did the show almost an hour and a half later.
Yeah, thanks, Steven.
I'd like to...
thank crappy headphones made by GE.
I almost...
Yeah, whatever, Britney Spears, blame everybody else.
I almost quit on you.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
I wish I did know how to quit you, because I would have. Aww. All right, guys. On that note, thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Casting.